This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Welcome, welcome to episode 75 of Taylor Talk. My name's Adam.
I'm Diane.
And I'm Steve.
Thought we'd do something fun this episode and open it up with a trivia question. However, Steve, I'm not going to answer it till the end of the episode, so don't go Googling it, you cheater.
Aww.
All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Which music video of Taylor Swift's stars a former Tennessee Titans football player?
Ooh.
Does anyone know?
Am I allowed to use Bing? I guess that would be...
No.
Oh.
No Bing.
Do not use the internet. We'll answer the question at the end of the episode.
Okay.
Don't let me forget before we sign off.
Okay.
Anyway, so I got a story for you guys. Actually, Steve, it's more for you.
Okay. Fire away.
Only because...
How is that more for Steve? Not, am I excluded from the story?
No, but you were there, so...
Oh, okay.
So is this life in the world of Adam here, huh?
No.
No.
Sort of.
Okay.
It's something that happened in my life, but it doesn't have to do with my life. It's just something I observed.
All right, well, fire away.
Okay, so last night, Diane and I, we went to see Train in concert. The band that Taylor loves. If you haven't seen them, don't like them, you should, because Taylor loves them and they're really good.
Not the choo-choo.
They did. They actually opened it up. They had a train at like a choo-choo thing going before
Sweet.
They actually took stage. It was pretty funny. Anyway, so they had the script opening for them, and the script, you know, they're an Irish band, did something I have never in my life seen. And it was the most amazing thing I have ever seen done at a live concert. And I'll share it with you, Steve.
Yeah.
So what they did, they have a song called Nothing. Have you heard that one? You know, it's nothing, 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 something like that.
I have a couple of their albums, but I don't remember off the top of my head, though.
Okay. So we'll get to why that's relevant in a sec. But basically what they did was they were just... You know, doing their spiel, just talking to the audience, and they're like, we want to do something really inappropriate with you guys tonight. So I'm like, what are they thinking? Like, what are they going to do, right? So they proceed to say, we can only do this if you guys all agree. Like, you have to agree to be in on this, et cetera, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody starts cheering. They're like, yeah, of course we want to do something inappropriate, right?
Right.
So they ask the audience... You know, the immediate audience down there on the floor in the first couple of rows or whatever, they're like, does anybody have an ex-boyfriend that we can call on stage?
Oh, geez.
It has to be a real ex-boyfriend. This has to be a legitimate ex. Like, we don't want you messing around. This has to be an ex, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a bunch of girls are, like, throwing their cell phones at the script, and they accept one of the girls' phones. They're like, it has to be dialing. And so they look at the phone, and it's calling her ex-boyfriend, who I think his name was what, Bobby?
Bobby, yeah.
Bobby. And, I mean, first thing he does is make fun of this guy's name, Bobby. But, anyway, not that there's anything wrong with the name Bobby. It was just funny. And so, the guy answers. He's like, hi, is this Bobby? And I guess Bobby was, I would assume, was pretty confused mm-hmm. at an Irish guy talking to him on his ex-girlfriend's phone.
Right.
And he's like, I got something for you. And they start singing their song, Nothing. With this guy on the phone, on stage. He starts singing it into the phone. Does the whole performance with Bobby on the phone, right?
Okay.
And at the end of the performance, finally, he's like, Bobby, are you still there? Apparently, Bobby was still on the phone.
Okay, good.
Yeah, right? Bobby stayed on the phone. And so he's like, he sticks the phone up to the crowd and yells at the crowd. He's like, all right, on three, everybody say, see you later, expletive. That starts with an A and ends with a hole.
Oh, okay. Nice.
So the whole crowd screams, see you later, a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hangs up the phone and he's like, you know the relationship's over when you have 20,000 people calling you an a-hole. Right? Now,
true.
There's a reason, there's a point to this story. I didn't just go on rambling for no reason at all.
I'm glad.
It's because I was thinking about it. And we have the subject of our show, Miss Taylor Swift, who also sings about certain subject areas. And I think I would kill, I would give anything to see Taylor Swift on stage. She has a perfect moment in her show, and I hope you guys know what I'm talking about, but I want to see Taylor take someone's cell phone out of the pit, call their ex-boyfriend, and say, "Hi, this is Taylor Swift." And then the next thing you hear is, "I remember when we broke up the first time," saying this. Right?
That would be awesome.
Never reading back together.
So how amazing would it be if Taylor took that idea from the script and sang "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together" to some fan's ex-boyfriend?
I love it. I think that's great. Very cool.
So I took the last, like, 20 minutes to tell that story, but I hope it was worth it.
Well, yeah.
Because that was seriously, I caught the whole thing on video. It was the greatest thing. My story doesn't even do it justice, but it was the greatest thing I've ever seen, watching the script call some girl's ex-boyfriend on stage.
And then to have 20,000 people, like, yell at the same time, that's, well, he'd never have something like that happen. That's cool.
I'm sure he was very confused.
But I think in the end, the important part is he must have figured out that, yes, maybe it was his fault in that relationship, and hopefully his next one will be a little better. Right?
Hopefully he'll shape up.
Perhaps. So, Taylor, if you're out there listening, please, before you finish your show, she finishes with "We Are Never Getting Back Together," right?
Yeah, she does. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So before you finish your next show, call someone's ex-boyfriend and sing it to them. Please.
Very cool.
Yeah, I guess my little spiel there is over. I hope I was entertaining for a few minutes. But Diane, what's been going on in the news lately?
Well, the magazine Marie Claire recently featured Taylor Swift in an article entitled "What's on Taylor Swift," where they asked her what was on her mind, bucket list, and much more. So did you guys see this list, and did you have, like, a favorite response?
I took a look at it.
Yeah, what was your favorite?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a favorite per se, but something I found kind of interesting was they asked Taylor what's on her vanity, you know, which I guess is one of those things with the mirror and the where you do your makeup and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And I could have sworn it said something about contacts, and I never knew Taylor wore contacts.
Yeah. She wears glasses.
Yeah, because it says on her nightstand on that same article, it says her glasses. I don't even know if there's any picture in the world that exists with Taylor with her glasses on.
I haven't seen any.
She wears her hipster glasses.
Yeah, but those don't count.
Right.
Like, those are for fun.
We're talking about, like, real deal glasses.
Like reading glasses. Which, I don't know why she doesn't wear them. Like, there's nothing wrong with wearing glasses. A lot of people wear glasses, obviously, in the world, but...
Actually, if I'm being quite honest, I could see her as being very cute with glasses on.
You would think that.
That's a good point, Adam.
Glasses
sometimes are very sexy, believe it or not.
Like, I find glasses, like, the right glasses, mind you. You can't wear big old, like,
Harry
old
Potter
lady,
glasses.
Like, glasses. But I do actually find glasses to be very attractive on a female.
It gives that little studious kind of look sometimes. It's cool.
The hot librarian.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here on an all guys episode of Taylor Talk. Well, all guys plus Diane.
Right.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah.
But what about guys in glasses? Does that work or not work, Diane? Just to kind of.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's Clark Kent. Like, I think he's sexy with glasses.
Clark Kent's supposed to be a nerd, though. When he's not being Superman.
Yeah, but nerdy,
yeah, he
nerdy is
good.
In. Like, nerds are, like, controlling the world these days. I mean, nerds are sexy,
well, obviously.
Too.
I mean, they're the smart ones, so.
Right.
So our next Taylor Talk mission, then, is to form a petition to get Taylor to wear her glasses in public.
There you go.
Pose for a picture with them. Model them.
I know there's some rare Taylor pictures that float around the internet, especially, like, on Taylor Connect and such. Maybe there's one there, so if any of our listeners do have a picture of Taylor in her regular glasses, let us know.
Yeah, really. I want to see it.
Maybe one day. All right. So have you guys heard of the song 1985?
Steve was the only one alive in 1985.
Hey, Adam. Do you know who sings that song?
Me.
No. Do you know who really sings that song?
Bowling for Soup.
Let's keep it that way.
Yes.
Okay.
Like, that
nice.
Doesn't work. I already countered your joke before you made it.
Whatever. All right. Anyway, that band had a song leak off their upcoming 2013 album, Lunch, Drunk, and Love. And this song was called Award Show Taylor Swift, which I thought was pretty funny. Did you guys get a chance to listen to it?
It was amusing for the first minute or so. I didn't listen to it all the way through. One thing I question, though, is that actually going to be on their album? Because are they allowed to sell a product with Taylor Swift's name in it?
That's what I was wondering. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I feel like it must be more of a joke. I don't think that's actually on their album. Like, what was the source of that?
Something from YouTube, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was on YouTube. The song was posted on YouTube.
So there's no actual confirmed source it's going to be on their album then.
And it was just uploaded by somebody, you know, like it's not actually they on their official Bowling for Soup, you know, YouTube video channel or anything like that. I did not listen to it because I kind of have this rule about listening to leaked content, may it be Taylor's music or anything. I stay away from all leaked content.
Steve, you are such a good person.
Sometimes.
Such an upstanding citizen.
An example to us all.
With this Bowling for Soup one, I wonder if it is even Bowling for Soup then, or if it's just someone that sounds a lot like them. Because remember when that Jersey Green girl, whatever, released a Taylor, quote-unquote Taylor song, and she sounded just like Taylor, except for a few notes here and there?
No, but like this sounds exactly like Bowling for Soup. I think it's them.
Are you a Bowling for Soup expert?
No, but it sounds like 1985, so I just accept it. I don't know.
Does it sound like Bruce Springsteen or Madonna or Waving for Nirvana?
Or Blondie?
U2 or Blondie? Music still on MTV. Did it come from a day when music was still on MTV?
No.
And finally, the Teen Choice Awards were this past Sunday, August 11th. Although Taylor Swift did not attend the actual ceremony, she still won two awards, Choice Female Artist and Choice Country Song for We're Never Ever Getting Back Together.
Well, thank you for the news, Diane. Steve, what's up on the calendar?
Well, Adam, you can still vote for Taylor for the VMAs for MTV. She is up for two awards. She's up for Female Video of the Year for I Knew You Were Trouble and also Video of the Year for I Knew You Were Trouble. Taylor is really kind of taken to Twitter and everything else like that. Remember, she was retweeting fans. Recently, she tweeted again here. She said, anxiously counting down to VMAs. Feel like voting? Because I certainly feel like shamelessly asking you to. And then she's sent a link there to so people could continue to vote. So, I mean, she really wants to get her Moon Man again.
Yeah, well, Steve, when does that when does the voting end?
The voting will go through Monday, August 12th.
So today. Well, so, today when we release this episode.
Yeah, so it's coming up soon, so make sure it's keep getting those votes in there. And the VMAs will be airing on MTV on August 25th at 9 p.m.
Cool. Thank you for that, Steve.
You're welcome.
And of course, in the world of the Red Tour, Taylor had a couple shows this week. First one was in Wichita, Kansas on August 6th. The secret song was Tim McGraw. Uh-huh. She also had a show in Tulsa, Oklahoma on August 7th. The secret song was Hey Steven.
Yes.
Steven's like, I'll take it.
I will take it. I wish I was at that show. Actually, that has always been my favorite song. I know that song is not about me, but I pretend it is.
It's spelled the same as your name.
It is spelled the same. So.
Which is, I don't know which is more common, PH or V.
I see both. Yeah,
it's hard to say.
Because I feel like PH is more like Stefan.
Stefan with an A at the end. Like
yeah, Stefan. Or yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, really, it's biblical. That's kind of where the original PH one comes from, is from the Bible.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So Steve is holy.
I don't know.
Anyway, finally, the Red Tour went to Chicago for its final stadium show on August 10th, where the secret song was Fearless. The Red Tour is going to continue this week by heading out to California. Taylor's going to be...
Sorry, I was just excited. She's coming to my state.
Yay!
Thanks for the interruption, Diane. Mm-hmm. Taylor's going to be in San Diego on August 15th, which happens to be a very special day. It is Diane's 22nd birthday.
She's going to feel 22.
In that case, I will forgive you for interrupting me because your birthday's coming up. So for those of you who follow Diane on Twitter, make sure to go wish her a happy birthday on Thursday, August 15th, same day Taylor will be in San Diego, where Diane happens to have pit passes. Lucky you.
I do. Ooh. Lucky me, Adam. You're going to be there.
I know. Lucky me, too. I get to go also. Woohoo. Anyway, after that, she's going to be in Los Angeles on August 19th, 20th, 23rd, and 24th. Four shows at Staples Center.
Hopefully some good things come about that. I mean, you remember what happened on the Speak Now tour. That was quite an interesting leg.
Yeah, she had a guest on every single night and every night after that. So, I mean, she'll probably have guests in L.A.
Unless she wants to mix it up, like we're all expecting it, and then she's going to be like, oh, I'm not going to do any special guest here.
She's like, haha, just kidding, LA.
I'm going to have a special guest in North Dakota.
So that's it for the Red Tour updates for this week. Moving along with the episode, we've got our new segment, Tell Me Why, which we got. I pulled a couple questions off the Ask FM because we've got some catching up to do. We have so many questions on there. You guys have been so responsive, and I love it. Keep those questions coming. So we're going to do two questions this episode that we'll throw open for discussion. The first one that I want to get your guys or people's opinion on.
Thank you for that.
Politically correct, Adam.
Yeah, Diana's here. So what I would like the opinion of my co-hosts on is, do you think one day when we grow up, we will stop liking Taylor Swift?
Ooh. I mean, I don't know. I've been a fan of Taylor since I was like 14 years old, and I'm almost, yeah. I mean, like that's a long time. So I just can't see myself not liking her anymore. Like I think her music is always going to be there for me, and it's all like I'm always gonna remember the good times when she was on tour and all that, because I mean, let's be real, like I don't think Taylor is going to do concerts for the rest of her life. I don't know if she's gonna,
of course she
music.
Is what do you mean,
yes,
new album every 2 years until she dies.
But I mean, does she want to do that? Like, she wants to have a family, and
it was
I,
a joke,
and I support
of course
her.
Not
sorry, I'm just so logical like I was last week, but yeah, I'm gonna like her forever, so I don't think it'll ever stop. Steve,
you know what, to me it's not
well,
that
Steve's already grown up, so this is an inappropriate question for him. Or very appropriate rather. Steve, you're grown up, do you still like Taylor?
I do, but here's the interesting part about that. Like, I think I will continue to always like her music. I mean, anything that I've ever listened to that I've, you know, really got into, I've continued to like. But what I think is important is you don't always listen to that type of music all the time. Like, you know, there was a time where I was into some of the heavy metal music. There was, you know, back when Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys and NSYNC were popular, I really kind of got into that. So, like, I continue to kind of change what kind of music I listen to and such. But I don't, like, dislike this. It's not like eventually I'm like, oh, I'm tired of hearing her. You know, her music is horrible, that kind of stuff. But I may not always focus in on her music.
Well, Steve, speaking to your point, though, something I have found with music is you tend to go back to it. So even if you stop listening to her for a while, you'll go back and you'll have this like newfound appreciation for it.
That's an excellent point. And I've done that before with, you know, that after the tour was over, the last time we speak now, I pretty much stopped listening to anything Taylor Swift because, you know, it kind of was a nice little break from it. And then when she was ready to release Red, I was listening to Red, and then I got back into listening to Speak Now and Fearless and even her self-titled, and it was like a brand new experience all over again. You know, you start hearing things in the songs that you never noticed the last time,
right? So that, I mean, it's already happening, that whole going back to the beginning type thing. So I mean, by that point alone, I don't think you know, when we get older, as we age, we'll ever stop liking Taylor Swift. And something interesting is, you know, it's, I relate a lot of things to Harry Potter because I love Harry Potter. Steve doesn't, but Diane does.
I do.
I've never seen the movies, never read the books.
Well, you should. Anyway, so Steve, just to clarify something for you, there's something in the book called a Horcrux where you're allowed to store a piece of your soul in an inanimate object, and essentially, the purpose of it is to make you immortal. So even if your body gets killed, a part of you lives on that can then get its own body and you start all over again, right?
Okay.
Essentially, you're immortal, right?
Okay.
Now, Stephen King, who is another Stephen with a PH, who'd have thunk it,
mm-hmm.
was quoted saying something to the effect of J.K. Rowling put her soul into 7 books, creating 7 Horcruxes, and therefore her work is immortal, right? The books will live on forever.
Okay.
And the reason I get off topic this moment and bring it back around is because Taylor is a writer, just like J.K. Rowling's a writer, and she puts her real life into her music and essentially is putting her soul into her writing the way J.K. Rowling does. So by that, I guess by that point alone, I don't think her music will ever, ever, ever die. It's going to go on forever because she put everything she had into it.
But are you going to stop reading the books? Like, you don't keep reading the books, do you? And keep watching the movie? Okay.
You do?
The books? The Harry Potter books. Yeah, I personally have read the Harry Potter books several times. I know someone offhand, man, I can't remember who it was, but someone was talking about how they read the seventh book like 45 times or something absurd like that.
Oh my gosh, they kept count? Wow.
So to answer your question, see, people do reread those books. And just like with the music, you listen to it over and over again. And several years down the line, you're going to listen to it again.
But do you think you'll grow out of it? Are you going to grow out? Like, are you going to grow out of it to the point that, like, let's say 5 years down the road, do you still expect yourself to be continuing to read the books, or do you think you're going to take, you know, a decent sized break from it and then come back to it maybe 10, 15, 20 years from now?
Well, I think the point is, like, I don't think we're ever going to stop liking something that we liked so much at one point.
Sometimes that doesn't, you know, sometimes that does change though. Like, you like something and then after a while you're just sick of it and you're like, I can't stand this anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's but, like me and the Jonas Brothers.
See though, Steve, I don't, you know, with Taylor's music though, I think that won't happen. I think you could take a break to it and always come back to it, because there's a point I always make when people ask, like, if you're this age, or this age, how can you relate to Taylor's music? And, you know, it's likewise with the Harry Potter books. People always ask, oh, it's a book written for children. How can adults relate to it?
Right.
With Taylor, people are like, oh, she's a girl in her 20s. Her early albums are about teenage experience. Her current albums are about her current experiences in her 20s. How can someone older relate? And I think the answer to that is memories.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So sure. When we grow up, we're not going to stop liking Taylor Swift because there will be a sense of nostalgia associated with it. So you're going to like it for a different reason, but you're still going to like it.
Plus, I think that we're different people when it comes to it. It's not like we just, you know, bought her album, listened to it, and really, you know, we're not a huge fan. I mean, we go to the concerts. You know, anything that's related to Taylor Swift, we have an interest in. So we will have that nostalgia factor years down the road where we remember the tour, we remember the albums, we remember the lyrics, everything else like that. I agree.
Yeah, there's something specifically about music, too, that's immortal. You know, I'm a huge fan of the Beatles. I wasn't even alive when the Beatles were still a band. I don't even think you were, Steve.
No.
The Beatles broke up in 1970, roughly?
No, I'm not that old. Jeez.
Yeah, 1970, they broke up, and ironically had an album come out in 71. It had already been made. It just wasn't released till after they broke up. But anyway, people still listen to the Beatles' music to this day. I mean, John Lennon was killed back in 1980, which is, what, 33 years ago this December.
Mm-hmm.
Yet their music is immortal. And likewise, Taylor, her music is immortal because she's doing something to change the music industry as a whole. She's going out of the normal routine. She's not just a fad. She's a writer who tells stories, and stories live forever.
That's beautiful, Adam. Stories do live forever.
I would clap, but I don't know how it would sound on the microphone.
Try it. Woo!
That probably didn't sound good at all.
It's okay, Steve. I'll insert some studio applause right here.
Applause for yourself?
No, applause for Steve.
Oh, for Steve's clapping. Okay. Applause for the applause.
Applause for the applause. It's really just to support Steve.
Thanks.
But anyway, I think the short answer to this question, you know, Ask FM, I believe, I mean, it's anonymous for the most part. If you can see who submitted these, I don't know how, but
You can sometimes if they elect to leave their name, like if they have their own Ask FM account and then they leave it anonymous, you know.
I see. Well, this question I think was anonymous, but either way, I think the short answer to the question is no. I mean, that's about as short as an answer can get. No, we will not stop liking Taylor Swift.
We may stop listening to her music, but we're not going to stop liking her music or, you know, her as a person for that matter.
But we'll always come back to it.
Exactly.
So the next question I wanted to tackle, there's a little bit of overlap with the last question with what we were talking about, but the next one is, everyone says that Taylor's music is so popular because it's so relatable. I have never been in a relationship in my life, and so obviously I cannot relate to a lot of her songs. However, I still love her music and find her lyrics amazing. Can you think of a reason why this is? Because I'm stumped.
Yes, I can. Without getting far too personal here, like, this was my life, like, 2 years ago. And I still felt a connection to her music because even though I was never in a relationship, I still experienced, like, sadness. Like, I was happy. I had heartbreaks and stuff. Like, even though my life didn't reflect exactly what happened in her song, like, I still had the, I guess, the emotions that fit along with it. So that's how I was able to relate, even though I had never been in a relationship before.
Well, I think beyond that, part of the reason it's so relatable is you don't necessarily have to be in the exact same situation to relate to the music because of the format in which Taylor writes it and how she portrays herself. Because in this particular situation, it's like a best friend pouring their heart out to you, seeking some sort of emotional connection from you. So I think it's kind of like, in that respect, you can relate to it because it's as if a friend is talking to you. And, you know, there's plenty of situations where you have a friend talking to you and you can't necessarily relate, but you can offer an ear and appreciate what they're going through and what they have experienced.
Well, I actually think, you know, even if it's not relatable, because that's actually an attraction to the music, is if it's relatable. I mean, think about a comedian. You know, a lot of their jokes, the thing that's funny about their jokes is it's relatable. You know, you have someone that has been in that same situation, or, you know, you have a crazy uncle that would have said exactly that kind of thing. So it's the same sort of stuff that, you know, that's what is one of the attractions to music. But I think she actually answered part of her own question is, you know, even if it wasn't relatable, it's the love of the music and the lyrics. I mean, Taylor Swift's lyrics are completely amazing. We know this. I mean, she could probably write a book if she wanted to, you know, and it would be wonderful too. I mean, you see some of those perfectly crafted tweets that she has out there. You know, you see it and it just, like, a billion retweets happens just because it's like, this is hilarious. This makes total sense.
Clever.
Right. Remember, she even had that one about, the one I always remember is about her glasses, which is partially why I remembered about the fact that she does have contacts and glasses, is she said something along the lines of, I'm going to probably butcher here a little bit, but, you know, it was looking for your glasses would be so much easier if you had your glasses on. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have your glasses on, you can't see and you're trying to look for your glasses. You know, it's like one of those things. It's like so obvious. And you're like, yeah, if I had my glasses on, I could find my glasses, but I'd already have them on. You know, it was a tweet like that that's just like, you know, just hilarious. So even though you may not be able to relate to anything on her music, or maybe just little pieces here or there, the music is wonderful. The lyrics are great, you know, and just Taylor is a great person. You know, I think those are some of the attractions that we have to Taylor, is just, you know, just the whole picture of everything.
Right. You can still appreciate her as a writer and a storyteller and a wordsmith.
Right. I mean, like, you love the Harry Potter stuff. Do you really think that, you know, there are those kind of people out there that can cast spells and, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff?
Oh my God, I wish.
Yes.
You know, that's all fantasy. So how can you truly relate to that? But I'm sure there are bits and pieces of the Harry Potter stories that are actually, you know,
reality.
Yeah, like friendship and loyalty and all that stuff, which you should read about, Steve, in the Harry Potter books.
I'll think about it.
But, Steve, you know, kind of embellishing upon your point, too, I think even if you set the lyrics aside, I think part of the thing you were getting at is you can appreciate the music as well, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's a very valid point. You can like it because it's catchy and fun. I mean, like, We Are Never, Ever, Ever, Ever Getting Back Together is one of the catchiest and most fun songs I've ever in my life heard. Yet I can't relate to the story in the slightest, but I love the song.
And the music video is just hilarious and just full of, you know, color and images and animals and everything else like that. I mean, it's everything like that. You can enjoy that regardless if you can actually relate to that or not.
Right. So I hope we answered that question adequately for you, whoever asked that one.
Anonymous number two.
Anonymous number two. Yes. Because I think there are definitely a variety of reasons why someone can relate to Taylor's lyrics, despite never having experienced the same situations themselves. So who wants some mini segments?
Why don't you start us off, Adam?
All right, why not?
Yay!
At Arundel underscore M on Twitter said, "You know you're Swiftie when you recognize I knew you were trouble from a few bars when playing in cinema and you start by dancing, or you start dancing a bit. Dance, dance."
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it played during like a preview before the movie, maybe?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
Either way, you have to be a real Swiftie to notice it just by those
first couple of bars. Yeah, that's when you know that you're a pro at it. And I always, my favorite part is when like a Taylor Swift song just starts playing and I just like yell it out and like all my friends are like, "How'd you know that that was going to be a Taylor Swift song?" And I'm like, "Oh, I could tell from the first couple bars." So yeah, I've done that
multiple times.
Yeah, it's definitely fun to yell at your friends and let them know ahead of time what's coming up.
Right.
So I do that with other artists too. I'm almost like one of those like Sirius satellite, you know how it comes up and shows who the artist is? I try to do that with almost every song on the radio. It's fun. It's a fun game. I guess try that out.
I guess if you're driving alone by yourself and you got a long commute, why not?
Right.
Play a game.
Heck yeah. Okay, I'll do the next one here, Adam. You know you're a Swiftie if you somehow always spend $13, $15, or $22 at the store most of the time by accident, or maybe not.
Who sent that one in?
That was Joel from Facebook. And actually, one of the things that I can relate to that, there has been a couple occasions where, like, I was leaving a tip at a restaurant, and, like, it was coming out to be, like, oh, it's to be, like, $12 or something like that. And I'm like, you know what? Their service was good. I'm going to give them an extra dollar just to give them a $13 tip.
Nice.
Yeah.
You give $13 tips, Steve?
Every once in a while, I'll go to, a fancy steak restaurant or something like that. Not very often.
Steve's a rich guy. He needs to take me to dinner sometime.
I don't think so.
You guys should go on a mandate.
Ooh.
Yeah. Steve's down.
Sounds bromantic.
Oh.
The next one comes from Yesenia via email. And they say, "You know you're Swiftie when out of nowhere you need gas and you don't realize it, but the pump is number 13. And when you walk in, 'We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together' is playing and you totally have a Swiftie moment. Then you smile because it's going to be a good day." True story.
That's like winning the Swiftie lottery, I guess this would be about what that is.
That kind of reminds me of a story.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Haven't you told enough stories today, Adam?
But this is a good one. It's a Swiftie story.
All right. Go ahead.
So as you guys know, I just started a new job recently. And when I was leaving for the interview for this position before I started, I get in the car, and wouldn't you know it, "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together" is on the radio, and I thought that was very ironic, because it's like leaving an old job behind before you go to interview for a new one.
Ooh.
And then I was offered a position, and after the interview, after I was offered the position, I get in the car to go home, and guess what's on the radio? Literally, when I get in the car and turn it on. Any guesses, Steve?
I knew you were trouble. No, just kidding.
No.
Just kidding.
Begin Again.
Ooh.
And here, it goes a step further, too. Guess what day my interview was?
It was on the 13th?
No, it was on a Wednesday.
In a cafe?
It wasn't in a cafe.
You work at Starbucks now? Is that where you're at?
No, Steve. But I just thought it was interesting, like, just sort of the symbolism behind "We Are Never Getting Back Together" playing as you leave an old job behind, and then when you're offered a new one on a Wednesday, "Begin Again" is playing, because it's like ending one chapter and starting a new one. It was just very interesting, very coincidental, and it's kind of funny. If you guys go back through my tweets, I actually said "off to a job interview" and Taylor just came on the radio. It's got to be good luck, right?
Yeah, sure.
Then you got the job.
And sure enough, I was offered the position. So that's just kind of my Swiftie story that sort of reminds me of that situation that Yesenia had.
Well, Adam, you are the lucky one to get a job in this economy. How's that sound?
Oh, Taylor puns. You got puns, huh?
Yep, I got more if you want. That's probably enough for now.
Why don't we carry on with these? The next one, Pearl emailed us. Pearl, that's a nice name. Pearl. I like it. Anyway, you know you're a Swiftie when you go to your local chemist every day after school to check if they have Taylor's new perfume, Taylor.
Hey, Adam, do you know what a chemist is?
Isn't it someone who plays with chemicals?
No, it's like a Walgreens, but it's, you know, like a...
So, drugstore?
Yeah, drugstore.
Oh. That's
okay. The equivalent, yeah.
Interesting.
I believe it's a European-Irish thing, or England and, like, the UK
area. So, how
area.
Do you know this?
Because I went to England last year for a month, and that's what they're called. Called chemists.
Oh, did you visit the apothecary?
It's just a different name.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it. Well, I wonder if they had Taylor. You'll have to let us know, Pearl. Did you ever find Taylor? Do you smell like Taylor? Do you have Taylor on you?
This is too much.
Too much Taylor. All right, I got the next one here. You know you're a Swiftie when you have two of each of Taylor's CDs. And that is from Taylor's Swifties 1313 on Taylor Connect.
Psh, two?
Adam, what, do you have a library?
I have four. Actually, I think, gosh, I have so many. I have like five or six copies of Beautiful Eyes.
You crazy.
Well, there's a purpose for it. People are going to have to keep listening to Taylor talk because those are eventually going to be giveaway prizes.
Ooh.
Ooh, spoilers. Ooh. Beautiful Eyes. If you guys don't have it yet, I've got multiple sealed copies.
Sealed, brand new in the package.
Precisely.
Never been opened, never been seen.
That's one thing I can't find at Walmart anymore. There was a time where, like, it was there originally, went away, and then it came back again, and I can't find any of them again. So
it did come back briefly. That's why I bought a couple when it did.
Good thinking. This next one comes from guys_love_taylor_2. So guys love Taylor too. From Taylor Connect.
True fact.
And they say, you know you're Swiftie when you browse through your iTunes library, discover that 22 has been played exactly 22 times, and get so excited that you post a forum on Taylor Connect about it.
Nice.
You know what sucks about that, though?
You have to play it again? Or you can't play it again?
You
gotta
play
stop
it again.
Playing it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to, like, duplicate it and start playing the duplicate.
And
like
then
duplicate
listen
the
to
file.
That 22 times and then move on. That could be messy, though.
Yep.
You're going to have a lot of copies of 22 eventually. But I like your name, by the way. Guys do love Taylor, too.
It's so true.
So true.
Yep.
So what are Swifties listening to? Diana, I'm going to let you tell us because I believe you picked this one out.
I didn't pick it.
It was submitted, but I mean you picked this particular submission.
Yeah. This submission comes from Swift Agency 13, a.k.a. Hannah, and she says, Swifties are listening to Gotta Get There by Brett Eldridge.
Ooh.
Yeah, so Brett Eldridge, we know, is one of the openers on the Red Tour.
Was.
And he's really good.
He's so good.
So he has his single, Don'tcha, on the country radio right now. Is this like his next single, or does anyone know?
Well, his new album came out, so it could be just, one of the other songs on his new album.
Yeah, I think it's just another song on his album, but it is a really good song, so you guys should go listen to it. I like
it. Yeah, either way, I'm going to have to check it out, because I do like Don'tcha, so I'd imagine some of his other songs are good, too.
I actually did play this for you in the car, the song.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oops.
Oopsie.
Adam needs to pay attention.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Gotta Get You There by Brett Eldridge. Right. I love it. It's a great song.
Oh, my God.
No sarcasm there, right?
Precise. What?
No sarcasm?
Well, it wasn't a matter of sarcasm. It's that I really don't remember it being played. I probably just wasn't paying attention.
It was so awesome that your brain just totally just...
It couldn't handle the awesomeness of the song.
Right.
My brain just fried.
Yep. It's that good of a song. Everybody should go listen to it.
Exactly. So, before we get rolling...
Oh, wait. At the beginning of the episode, you mentioned that you were going to do something, right? Tell us the answer.
Yes, I was actually going to do that. Thank you for reminding me, Steve. I was actually literally just... That sentence you interrupted was going to be me criticizing you guys for not reminding me. But
see,
then you...
See, I jumped in. I knew it was going to happen. I could feel you just... The anger building there.
Okay. So, if I remember correctly, from way back about a half hour or so ago, our question was, which music video of Taylor's starred a former Tennessee Titans football player? Does anyone know the answer?
I'm going to guess You Belong With Me just because there was at least a football scene in there, maybe at that point in time. I don't know.
Well, he's an actor, though. The guy that, I think his name's Lucas Till, the guy in You Belong With Me.
No, I mean just in that video. Like, I'm not...
Oh, sorry, Steve, I probably should have specified this question is targeting the main male character.
Oh.
This isn't just an extra.
Oh, okay. That totally changes the question then, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess it does. Now, do you have another guess? I'll give you a second try since I wasn't
clear. I'm going to go with Tim McGraw.
Diane?
It has to be something from her earlier works because all the guys that she's had recently in her videos have been actors or whatnot. So, Picture to Burn.
Did you cheat?
Uh-oh.
Yes.
What a cheater. I shouldn't have given you guys a half hour window to find it out. But the answer is Picture to Burn. But we'll test you and see if you know.
No. Let me clarify. I didn't cheat like I Googled the answer. I did not use the internet.
I did not use the internet either, and I got the answer wrong.
Steve at least is more honest than
I am. I'm just telepathic.
Okay.
That's how I cheated.
Anyway, the guy's name is Justin Sandy. He played for the Tennessee Titans. He's a pro football player, played a male character, had kind of a villainous look to him. That's why they liked him.
How sad. Did they really say that? He had a villainous look?
It says that in the book I'm reading, the Taylor Swift biography I'm reading. So it calls him, gives him a villainous look.
I'm sure he's a sweetheart. I hope.
I'm sure he's very kind and warm-hearted. And
yeah.
And he has a nice pickup truck that he'd never let Taylor drive.
Never let her drive.
Yeah, never let her drive that truck.
Darn it.
Ah.
How villainous.
So remember, everybody, there are a variety of ways you can contact us if you want to submit content for the show, mini segments, anything else. You can email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, or our newest method of contact, AskFM. All four of those are taylortalk13. You can leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT, or you can leave us a voicemail directly on the website, taylortalk.org. If you forgot any of those, visit the website, taylortalk.org, click the contact link, and they're all listed there for you. But for now, this has been episode 75. I am Adam.
Wait, Adam, stop.
Oh.
We have one more submission.
We have what?
It's from my favorite segment.
I think he purposely is skipping this for a reason.
I think so, too. Well, probably because it would be so vain of Adam to read his own segment.
Oh.
But this one comes from A Starlit Night on Taylor Connect. And they say, Adam's so vain, he probably thinks this email is about him.
Ooh.
Wait. Except in my defense, that email was about me.
That's a good point.
That is true.
That is it's very like true.
Double vainness.
But wait, the email, what was it about? It was about nothing, right?
That was all that was in
that
the email.
That was the email, Steve. It was an Adam So Vain submission.
Well, it was about you then. Yeah.
See?
Okay.
I'm not all that bad.
Possibly.
Maybe. Debatable.
I like this new segment, though.
I hate you both.
I liked how you tried to skip out of that. I mean, you saw the episode, God. You know what was going on.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Steve.
All right.
I didn't skip anything.
Okay. Well, I guess we can still sign off, right?
So, for episode 75, this has been Adam,
Diane,
and Steve.
See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.